Seed of wisdom, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Sisters, it's nice to be back. And just for the record, I will not be here next week, so I'm going to Fatima on Thursday. I'm giving some lectures in Fatima. I've never been there. Have you ever been there?
No.
I haven't either. I remember you. Very special. And I'm leaving on Thursday morning, and I had a talk this morning on the Blessed Virgin and the conversion of Islam. And this evening I'm giving another lecture. So, keep me in your prayers. Now, so I will be leaving on Thursday. I'll be off for 10 days. And then I'll be back in Detroit from the 26th to the 30th. And the 30th, in the evening, I'm going to my own retreat for eight days. I need a retreat. Now, what? Are there, is there any Tuesday there?
Yes, the 27th, Father.
27th is a Tuesday. Okay. So, today is what? Today is the
13th.
So, not 20th, the 27th. Dia volente. I will be there. Then, the following week, then I'll have to again skip, as I'm Lord willing, should be back the week after that. And after that, I should be more regular. Now, just for the record, what did we cover the last time? Where were we? Who remembers?
St. Ignatius.
And we talked about the five principal.
Yes.
Okay. Well, we finished the Ignatian year. We finished the Ignatian year on August the 15th. On the 31st of July, it was the 500th anniversary of the birth of St. Ignatius. And he had a great devotion to Our Lady. So I think, what if we speak about St. Ignatius and the Blessed Virgin? I was just telling the sisters that I will not be here next week, but I should be here the week after on the 27th, and again will not be here the following week, but then ought to be the week after that. And then may I ask, you expect to receive Holy Communion, right? So I bring Mrs. Wykes and her husband Holy Communion, and today she came here and I said, well, how about giving you communion? And so that's what we'll do after this conference, which will be on St. Ignatius and the Blessed Virgin Mary. First of all, by way of introduction, St. Ignatius had many authentic mystical experiences, verified by the Church and approved in many ways by the Church's magisterium. Among the mystical experiences, many, if not most of them, involve the Blessed Virgin Mary. So much so that for a while he thought of calling the order he was to found the Society of Mary. Then a lady appeared to him and told him, "Don't you dare. Not the Society of Mary, but the Society of Jesus." So our very name, we believe, as members of the Society, our very name was a gift of Our Lady. I would like to cover three parts, as I usually do, because Ignatius, remember, tells us, whenever possible, divide everything into three that you speak on in honor of the Holy Trinity. Once in a while, there are only 2 points, sometimes 4 points to the meditations. But that's an exception. In the spiritual exercises, most of the meditations are 1, 2, 3. First, I might ask, what is, St. Ignatius, Marian spirituality? What is it? Secondly, why? Why, in God's providence, was St. Ignatius so devoted to the Mother of God? And then thirdly, always, how? How are we to benefit from what I call the Marian spirituality of St. Ignatius? First then, what is Ignatius, Marian spirituality? In one sentence, St. Ignatius recognized Mary as the indispensable channel of God's grace coming from Christ through Mary to us. Three very important prepositions. From Christ through Mary to us. And this, mind you, is long before some of the great apostles of the Blessed Virgin, like St. Louis de Montfort, like Alphonsus Liguori. Ignatius, we may say, set the groundwork for what we call the doctrine of Mary's mediation. If we answer then the question, what is the Marian spirituality of St. Ignatius? We would say it is his belief that whether we know it or not, whether we realize it or not, all the graces that we receive come to us from our divine Son through his Mother. However, there's more to it than just appears on the surface. Theologically, that's the statement of Mary's universal mediation of grace. How did St. Ignatius show his belief in Mary's universal mediation? He showed it, first of all, throughout the spiritual exercises, one key meditation after another. He tells the exercitant, as Ignatius calls the one making the retreat, he tells the exercitant to pray for what the meditation is intended to give us, but always to pray to Our Lady that she might obtain from her divine Son what we need. So, the universal mediation of Mary for our getting grace is shown in the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. And secondly, Ignatius' belief that the graces come from her son through his mother by the devotion that Ignatius tried to instill in his followers. Running through the letters of St. Ignatius to his sons is the importance, I would say the transcendent importance, of believing that we have a mother. The mother of the Society of Jesus is Mary. Mary's maternity, therefore, and notice, maternity of spirit, is built into, I would say, the charism of St. Ignatius in founding the Society of Jesus. Hereby, Mary's maternity, Ignatius means not only what is obvious, that she conceived and gave birth to Jesus Christ, but that she continues to channel the grace from her divine Son. For us Jesuits, through us, but in teaching others, he wanted to be sure that we made it clear that Mary, as the holiest of God's creatures, is a principal communicator of the graces from her divine Son. Next question, why? Why, in the mind of St. Ignatius, is it so important to see Our Lady as the mediatrix of grace? First, the historical reason. St. Ignatius and Martin Luther are born within a few years of each other. And they died within a few years of each other. It is absolutely certain that all of this was part of God's providence. That even as Martin Luther, a monk to the vows of poverty, chastity, and obedience, was a principal instrument, we may say, in the hands of the evil spirit to divide the Catholic Church in a division that is now going on 500 years old. Asking why? Why, under divine inspiration, did St. Ignatius so stress Mary's role as the mediatrix of grace? Because if there is one doctrine of the Catholic faith that all the so-called Protestant reformers denied, no exceptions, they denied that Mary is in any sense needed for our salvation. Over the years in teaching, as I'm sure I've told you, in 6 Protestant seminaries, there are 3 books on Protestantism. So I know Protestants very well. I also told you, I'm sure, about my mother. Later on, mother, when I was an infant, taking in two Lutheran boarders. I thought they were my sisters, Susan and Judith. By the age of 4, I complained to my mother. My sisters are not abstaining from meat on Friday. Why can't we eat meat on Friday? So she took the two of them aside and told them, my boy is growing up. He is asking embarrassing questions. Could you talk to your pastor and get permission? Otherwise you'll have to leave. Susan and Judith both came to my ordination years later. So I respect Protestants. Many ways, I admire them. But I sure know that Protestantism is not Catholicism. I see the fundamental reason, no doubt, under God's influence, why St. Ignatius so insisted on the importance of Mary is because Mary was removed, and I mean removed, from Protestant spirituality. Indeed, there is no Protestant spirituality. Or in modern English, there ain't. I think it is worth going to the board for at least a minute. We've touched on this more than once, but not just in this context. So, doing the will of God. The Catholic Church believes that God's will is manifested to us who remembers as a precept and as a counsel. How is that word counsel spelled? S-E? S-E. Yes, hold on to it. S-E. S-E-O. So, God's will is manifested as precept and as counsel. Now, there are many things that the Protestant reformers, as they call themselves, denied. But there was none more basic to Christian spirituality than this distinction. In fact, this is morality. This is spirituality. Now, as you know, the English language is very vague, confused. I'm sure I've told you that the editors of the latest unabridged Webster's Dictionary said they can no longer publish an English dictionary that will define the meaning of words. The English-speaking world no longer agrees on the meaning of words. This is tragic. Well, we Catholics, when we use English, you've got no choice unless we want to speak in French or si vultis possumus loqui latine. But if we're going to talk English, we better know the meaning of words. The meaning that we give, we Catholics give to words. Now, the meaning that we Catholics give to spirituality is doing God's will when it is not commanded. Back to St. Ignatius. Whatever else, the spiritual exercises are, and they are many things, they are, and now over 400 years, proved method of growing in the spiritual life. The spiritual exercises are the most important method of acquiring, and if we're dealing with others, promoting Christian spirituality. But then immediately, we've got to be clear what we mean by spirituality. Precept means obligation, binding under sin. Remember, it was the rich young man asked, "Oh Lord, what must I do to attain eternal life?" And that was Jane. What did our Lord say to the rich young man? Well, just first, what must I do to attain eternal life? Keep the commandments. Okay. Obligation. That's morality. And really, really, only Christianity has both morality and spirituality. And there's only as much spirituality in other religions. This is a big statement. Only as much spirituality in other religions as there is either borrowing from or remnants of Christianity. So what is counsel? This is not obligation, but to keep the word Asian, it is, did you say?
Invitation.
And remember, after the rich young man told our Lord, "I have kept all these from my youth," then what did our Lord tell him? What would you say? Yes, you, pardon me.
So,
say that again.
All that you have to
pour. Well, can you remember the whole thing? Go, sell what you have, and give the proceeds to the poor, comma, and then, comma, come, follow me. In other words, spirituality means going beyond obligation. Now, given the whole thrust of the spiritual exercises, there's a build-up. 1, 2, 3, 4. 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks. The first week lays the groundwork. What we must do to be saved. Talks about sin, hell, and reparation. That's the first week. And then St. Ignatius says, and this is the directives that we get, when you're dealing with a soul that wants to make the spiritual exercises, Find out whether the person has the grace to go beyond the first week. If they don't, well, tell them it's very nice to have met them, and but do not continue with the spiritual exercises. Because not everybody has the grace. What's the grace? The grace is to go beyond obligation. Now, once you set that down as a principle, as PLE, as not just but the principle of the spiritual life, then immediately you see that we need, first of all, a model. Secondly, we need the light and the strength. In other words, we need the grace. Of course, and this is from the second week on, our principal model is who? Jesus Christ. However, and this is Ignatius, of course, Christ is our pattern. However, there are virtues that Christ did not possess. For the best of reasons, he didn't need them. What's the most important virtue that we sure need, but Christ did not need? Faith. And secondly, hope. Not to know this is not to understand St. Ignatius. And as you know, now you can read, oh, how many books. Thin books, thick books. So without imprimaturs, and some, sadly, with imprimaturs, they don't teach this. Speak of Christ as having to believe. That's not the Son of God. If Christ truly assumed a human nature, that human mind of his must have known God. Drop the past tense. And now, did Christ radically change? Is there more to the hypostatic union now than there was, say, during Christ's mortal life on earth? No. He was God, mortal, became man, became a mortal man. He is now immortal. So Christ did not need faith or hope. But Mary had both. And we sure need both. We're answering the question why, remember? Why in Ignatian spirituality is Mary's mediation so fundamental? Because notice, this mediation of Our Lady to obtain for us the grace we need is not only the graces that she obtains by her intercession, but the graces that her son wants to give us by our knowing who she was, because all the grace we get from Christ through Mary depends on our faith. Indeed, the most fundamental grace that we need is the grace of light. And if the most important grace we need is faith, who is the one person? Was Mary a human person or a divine person? Was Christ a human person or a divine person? Please? Let me take a drink of water. Was Christ a human person or a divine person? Divine person, period. Was Christ only a divine person? Yes. Yes. He was not a human person. This is what I told the people today, this morning, when I worked to convert the Muslims. That's a problem the Muslims had and have. They do not believe that Jesus is a divine person, and his mother is therefore the mother of God. Well, we are asking ourselves why. Why we have and should have and find it Ignatius such stress on Mary, the mediatrix of graces. Why? Because Ignatius recognized that if we're going to become more and more like Christ, he must imitate more and more his mother, because no one on earth during his stay on earth knew him better than she. So that it is not only that Mary obtains grace for us, but that we, by our imitation of Mary in her faith and her hope, obtain from her divine Son the graces that we need. We are asking, therefore, why Ignatius stressed Mary's mediation of grace. He stressed it first and mainly because that was the heresy that permeated the Christian world in the 16th century and has permeated so much of Christianity ever since. We go on. Why did St. Ignatius so stress Mary's mediation? He stressed Mary's mediation of grace not only because he recognized that she is the Mother of God from whom all graces come. All grace comes, finally, from God. More immediately from Christ, the Son of God, but through his Mother Mary. But then they ask, why is it important for us, if you want to grow in the spiritual life, why is it important for us to have a devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary? Why? Because by our devotion to the Blessed Virgin, we recognize that it was her sanctity that made her, and she still is, so powerful and intercessor for grace before God. This is something which all the reformers simply denied. By the 16th century, in fact, I'd say by 1580, all the religious communities of men and women, and by then, the Protestant countries, all the religious communities went out of existence. All of them, all of them. And that because once you deny that you can respond to God's grace by doing more than you're obliged to, there is no principle on which you can build religious life. What do we as religious sisters, what do religious vow themselves to do? Do they vow to keep the precepts, or do they vow to keep the counsels? Keep the counsels. And that's the definition of religious life. You bind yourself to do what you don't have to do. Are you under vows yet? Not yet. One more year. He's a member of the Oblates of the Virgin Mary, right? When are you going back to Boston?
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday. So that not only did religious communities disappear, but one confession of faith, as they call it, of the Protestant denominations after another, said to claim that you can do more than you're obliged to is blasphemy. Because even when we do what we have to, I'm quoting a Martin Luther, even when we do what we have to, we must confess we are still unprofitable servants. Don't you dare say that you can do more than you're obliged to. Now this is where Mary is so indispensable. Whatever else Our Lady did, she did more than she was obliged to. Tradition tells us Our Lady took a vow of virginity. At the Annunciation, how would you describe the angels? I don't want to use the word. The angels speaking to Mary. Did he tell her now, listen, Mary, I come from Yahweh. I command you. You hear me? Yes, Gabriel, I hear you. As a divine command, you are to become the mother of the Messiah. Sister, what was the angel's message? Was it an obligation or was it an invitation? And running through St. Ignatius, once you get into the second week, that's all the spiritual life is about. It assumes keeping the moral law. It assumes that. But it builds on that. And it presents a blessed virgin. It's not the spiritual exercises, it's the Gospels. Present Our Lady as the model for our own spiritual life, but notice, including faith and hope, which we cannot imitate Christ in practicing because He did not possess those virtues. And I hope this will be clear. Mary will be as effective a mediatrix of grace to us as we recognize by faith that, like her, we have not only an obligation to keep the divine laws, but we have the blessed privilege, opportunity of responding to the divine invitation to do more than we're obliged to. You're still on the why. Why then did St. Ignatius so stress Our Lady in the spiritual exercises and in his spiritual writing and teaching? Because at the heart of the spiritual life is doing more than we're obliged to. Remember what our Lord told the rich young man after he told Christ, "I've kept all these commandments from my youth." What was the first word that our Lord used?
Thank God.
First word.
Good.
It was the first word. It's the first word right after he told our Lord, "I've kept all of these from my youth." Then Jesus said, If, remember? Who can finish the sentence? The capacity of the human mind to forget is infinite. Don't forget that. If, in other words, no option for number one, right? Either we keep the commandments or we won't even be saved. And no matter how you translate the following words, if you wish to be perfect, if you wish to go the whole way, if you want to do more than you have to, all three are legitimate translations of the Greek, then go, sell what you have, give the proceeds to the poor, and then follow me. Number three, how? How are we to put into practice the Marian spirituality of St. Ignatius, especially Ignatius' understanding of Mary as the mediatrix of all grace? First of all, we should learn as much as we can about Our Lady. I've never asked you, sisters, how many books on Our Lady do you have in the house? Yeah. Please?
Maybe 55.
Oh, that's pretty good for a small community. I tell you the time that I gave a conference to your sisters in the Bronx, maybe, and I just come from Chicago. I taught a community of nuns called the Daughters of St. Mary of Providence. And I asked them, how many books in Our Lady do you have? Well, it took them a week to count the books. They counted, as I remember, 54 different books in Our Lady. So I told the story to your sisters in the Bronx. It was in the chapel. And as a sisters, I won't ask you now because you don't know, but when I come back next week, would you tell me how many books in Our Lady you have? I told them about this very wonderful community in Chicago has 54 books on the Blessed Virgin. I'll never forget. I came back next week before they had a chance to ask the question. Somebody put up her hand. Father, how many books we have? 104. I never asked them if they borrowed any. So how to learn more about the Blessed The most obvious way of learning more about Our Lady is to read about the Blessed Virgin. Dare I suggest that you should periodically examine our consciences. When was the last time I read even one page somewhere about the Blessed Virgin? Sisters, do you have, pardon me for asking, do you have... You have spiritual reading, don't you?
Yes, sir.
And do you at least once in a blue moon you have some reading to do about Our Lady?
Yes, sir.
Honest?
Very often, yes.
How often?
Very often, yes.
Very often. See? Okay. Pardon me for bringing this up. And of course, I'm speaking to all of you. Secondly, if we want to benefit from the mediation of grace that Our Lady, as we know, is ready to provide, of course, like at Cana, remember? The couple, well, they didn't plan enough wine for the guests. Either the guests drank too much wine, or there wasn't enough wine, whatever the reason. They ran out of wine. From what we can tell, nobody complained. But Mary, remember, she told her son, they have no wine. So Our Lady will, sure she will. She will say, see those people down in Detroit? And by the way, if anybody needs grace, it is Detroit. Do you agree, Lois? However, we get more grace. We just don't wait with folded arms. If we ask for it, makes sense. And this runs as a theme to the spiritual exercises of St. Ignatius. And watch this. The principal grace that St. Ignatius makes sure you're asking Christ to give us while we're talking to his mother is a grace of light. Light. Always keep these two words together. We have the virtue of faith. We do believe. But what a difference between having the faith and seeing, understanding, grasping what we believe. And for that we need light. And I would say in Ignatian spirituality, this is the principal grace that Ignatius tells people to ask Our Lady for. Lady, that I may see. So, invoking Our Lady. But of course, Oh, sister, it doesn't disturb me. It shows the child is listening, see? We need to. It's automatic. We need to ask Our Lady not only for the light that we need to see what God wants us to do, but we especially need strength to do it. And let's be clear. And this is where Ignatius, well, we hammered it in. The Protestants dropped the Blessed Virgin. They just dropped her from Christianity. In writing on Protestantism, among many other books that I had to buy, was a thick book on the Lutheran hymns, Lutheran hymnal. I think I've mentioned this on some occasion. Over 400 hymns. Not one single hymn to Our Lady, not one. In other words, we need, Lord knows, we need help from God. But Ignatius would say, if you want to get help from God, ask His mother. However, the main thing that I want to share with you on the how in Ignatian spirituality of Our Lady is, if we are to obtain the graces that her Son wants to give us, we must follow the example of His mother. We commonly and correctly say, well, before I say it, let me ask. How do we obtain grace? What are the...
Pray.
Okay, so. One, two, three. First, pray. And that's Ignatius. Invoke Our Lady, asking her. Mind you, we don't really, strictly speaking, pray to Mary. We should rather say we pray through Mary. Remember the Hail Mary? Let's say it together. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners. Pray for us sinners. We invoke Mary, that's one verb, to intercede for us. Having taught so many Protestants over the years, they've never made that distinction. They have no idea. And as we casually say we pray to Mary, strictly speaking, we don't. She is not God. We beg her, we invoke her, that she might intercede with her divine Son. So first way to get grace from Christ through Mary is to pray. Invoke Our Lady. What's another way of obtaining grace? I said there were three ways. We just have one way. Kathleen?
Cooperating with the grace we have.
Oh, gee. Thanks, Kathleen. You jump. Oh, this is really... Why?
Well,
Please?
Sacraments.
Perfect. Yes. So the second, this is standard. See, Kathleen? Yeah. Thanks. By anticipation. So, sacraments. Now, may we say that the graces that we receive from the sacraments are somehow channeled to us through Mary. May we say that? Yes. Now, among the sacraments which needs special emphasis always, but especially today, what is the one sacrament that we may call the Marian sacrament?
The Eucharist.
Eucharist. How is the Eucharist a Marian sacrament? Because except for Mary, we wouldn't have the Eucharist. And that is the, capital T, capital H, capital E. That's the heart of the Eucharist. It is the humanity of Christ. Remember that famous syllogism of Martin Luther, who denied transubstantiation after he lost his faith in his own priesthood. Remembers? God is everywhere. Remember? Second, Christ is God. Therefore, Christ is everywhere. Can we just say that? Christ is everywhere. Just that way. No. And more than once now, I've been told by people calling often long distance. They're praying in church or in chapel. Say after Mass. And a priest comes and asks the person, "What are you doing here?" "I'm praying." "Well, why are you praying here?" "You know, praying to our Lord." "But," and I'm quoting the exact words, "but Christ is everywhere." Well, I would like to pronounce the next sentence, but I won't. That's what the Eucharist is. It is God who became man. And the only reason why we can say as we do that we receive the body and blood of Christ is because God received his body and blood from whom? From his mother. So the Eucharist is the Marian sacrament. And a very fine invocation is, "Mary, Mother of the Holy Eucharist, pray for us." Finally, Kathleen.
Cooperating with the grace.
Okay, so. Cooperating with grace. We are asking ourselves how we are to benefit from St. Ignatius' teaching, what we call Marian spirituality. That if we want to grow in grace, get more grace, Then, like Our Lady, we must cooperate with the graces we've received and listen. All the praying in the world, all the sacraments we can receive, will not benefit us unless we practice number three. That's why God gives us grace. Else you might look at it and say, gee, what a beautiful sight. You're supposed to use the grace. And just a closing observation. Whatever we do, especially in helping others to come closer to Christ, or even to come to know Him in the first place, be sure to see how Our Lady can be brought into a person's life. I may have told you this about the man in New York, where I lived on 83rd Street and Park Avenue in Manhattan, taking care of the washing the dishes. Did I tell you this? Washing the dishes, setting the table, and I would have classes in the evening at the university in Long Island. And so I had class shortly after 6. I'd leave over an hour before class time. I'd miss my dinner. You should get home by about 9:30 or 10. And this one fellow, he didn't have to do it. He'd put some food on a plate and put it on the top of the stove to keep it warm. Ever tell you this? Yeah. Anyway, so one day I thanked him for doing this for me. And I said, by the way, I'm going to say a rosary for you. So I put on my rosary beads. I'm sure I'm going to say a rosary for you. I'm going to say, Kathy, could I have one? Well, sure, sir. I gave him my rosary. By the way, Daniel, when you travel, you carry an extra rosary with you? Do you? Carolyn? Kathleen? Pardon me. You don't have to say yes. So I set a rosary for him, gave him the rosary that I had, and next time I came, he was wearing the rosary around his neck. And, you know, hanging down. For all the Jesuits to see, I never told him to take that rosary off. I figured my fellow members of the Society of Jesus can use that good example. And the receptionist on 83rd, again, lady, a Protestant, taught her how to say the rosary. Become apostles of Our Lady, as the St. Ignatius was. You bring people to Our Lady, she will surely bring them to her divine Son. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now shall we have communion?